Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
All right, guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Sweet Sweet Garbage. This week, we're going to be talking about 1994's Disclosure with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore. And yeah, so Bailey, do you want to go into a little synopsis of that?
Yeah, so a computer specialist is sued for sexual harassment by a former lover turned boss who initiated the act forcefully, which threatens both his career and his personal life. Oh, God.
Okay, so, yeah, so basically this is going to be a little different today because we both hated this movie.
But I read a review that said that this movie was amazing compared to Michael Crichton's source material, to the point that, like, the review said this thing should have won an Academy Award for adaptation, considering how shitty the actual book. They said that the book, if you thought this movie was, like, sexist, they said the book is just, like, straight sexist.
That's crazy. I honestly, like, I really feel like this movie thinks that it's being, like, really liberal and, like really trying to, like, make you think. But, like, it's done, yeah, it's done in such a sexist way. That's so crazy to hear that. Like, I mean, I think I was reading some about the production. Like, I feel like Michael Crichton wrote the script first, and then, like, there was something like
Paul Adonasio. Well, Paul, maybe he did, but Paul Adonasio, who actually has, like, a very formidable writing career. I mean, he's been nominated for an Academy Award for Quiz Show. He created the TV show Homicide: Life on the Streets. So he's, like, a very revered screenwriter. But this movie, like, the pacing was terrible. Like, I just was bored. Like, not only was this, did this movie piss me off at times, I was just bored with it.
Well, the thing that was weird about this movie is I think they tried to like lean into the whole, like, mystery and, like, whodunit, and, like, there's, like, this conspiracy, and there's so much, like, there's so many moving parts that it just doesn't really make sense, because they could have, if they maybe, like, stuck to, like, one angle, like, okay, so he gets sexually harassed by Demi Moore, and then, you know, then it goes into, like, all this legal stuff. I feel like maybe if they had stuck to that, I mean, it would still be, like, it's, like, super misogynistic, just all over the place.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just,
there's this, like, I understand that,
like, like, this is way before, like, Me Too. This is solidly in, like, 1994, where, like, I remember they're, like, trying to, you know, it goes to a deposition where, you know, it's, like, the whole he said, she said, and they get his assistant to, you know, sort of back Demi Moore, and she's like, oh, yeah, he, like, touches me on the shoulder, or he pats me on the butt, but I don't think he means anything by it. I was like, how is that allowed?
I know. It also just shows how, like, dated this kind of thinking is. Even with, like, everything, like, that's happening now, you know, there's just so, oh my God. It was funny, because, like, I kept trying to find something that I could, like about this movie. And, like, I was like, okay, well, what is it, like, I was doing such mental gymnastics, because I was like, okay, well, what if they are trying to do this whole, like, horror movie idea that, like, I couldn't think of anything. And, like, honestly, all I can say, and, like, I hate to generalize, but I'm just like, it just seems like everybody who made this movie hates women.
Yeah, and I was like, why would Demi Moore in the 90s, like, take a pot like this. Because, like, it's not like you could say, oh, there weren't, like, well-written roles for, like, there were, they're few and far between compared to today, but there were very well-written women roles in the 90s. And she just takes this one where, like, the minute you meet her, she has, like, no character development. Like, I don't care about her.
Right.
I don't, like, even in the moment where it's, like, clearly we know that she came on to Michael Douglas, but if we were supposed to be, like, oh, I want to feel for this woman that has been sexually assaulted. Like, you don't feel for her because the character is so flat and cold. And,
right.
Like, it's just, it's a bad, bad, badly written female character.
No, I know. And, like, listen, I'll say, like, I thought she was mega hot in this movie. Like, she was so... so hot.
Well, that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where she's literally raping him. Like, if he said no once, he said no 100 times in that scene. Like, that is rape, no matter how you cut
it. No, absolutely.
And then it's like, but we're supposed to think this scene is sexy. She's, like, blowing him. And then he's like, you want to get fucked. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh. But it does it. It's not sexy, though, because it is so... so many, like, rape vibes in that scene.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, like, and honestly, maybe if they had, like, I don't know if they were, the thing is, they obviously, yeah, did not have anything, like, in mind for her. Like, she's supposed to just be the villain. You know, there's no shades to it.
She's not even, like, a femme fatale or anything. You know, at least femme fatales are intriguing. There's, like, nothing intriguing about this character.
Yeah, because honestly, if you think about it, she is just that archetype, that trope, just, like, shitty, evil boss, you know? Like,
yeah.
Honestly, it could have been played by a guy, and Michael Douglas's part could have been played by a girl, and we probably never would have heard of this movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, literally, they were just like, oh, well, you know, like, this is... it's like a Twilight Zone episode, like, hey, like, look what could happen if we let women have power. You know,
yeah,
this shit will happen.
Yeah, or I just love when he thinks he's, like, getting this promotion, and then Donald Sutherland is like, nah, I'm gonna give it to Demi Moore. And I'm like, oh my god, a man got passed over for a promotion? Alert the fucking media!
I know, right? But of course,
but yeah, like,
it's like
Donald Sutherland's
stuff,
trying.
So.
Yeah, or Donald Sutherland is trying to be like, look at how woke I am. You know, my daughter passed away, and I wish that there would be a world where women could have power in you know, a work setting. So I'm gonna hire Demi Moore. Like,
yeah.
Because of my dead daughter. And I was like,
again,
what
yeah.
is this movie?
Oh, God, it's so funny. Like, at a certain point, like, because I, you know, I was drinking a little bit, like, while I was watching this. And then, like, by the end of the movie, I was, like, a little bit wasted because, like, I was just, like, trying to make it go faster.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
Like, all, even when they get to, like, the, not, it's not even, they're not even courtroom scenes. They're, like, deposition scenes where it's a bunch of people in a boardroom, like, yelling at each other. I was like, this isn't even interesting.
Right.
I was like, this is bad. And I think this movie was trying to be like, you know, men can be sexually assaulted too. You know, it's not just women. So we should believe men when they say this. And then you have like everybody contradicting him being like, which is like how they contradict women when they're sexually assaulted. It's like, well, you got hard. Clearly you wanted it.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, you've had a past history of sex with her. Clearly you wanted it again. It's just like all of these like these things that I was just like, oh my, and the wife being like, you fucked her before, blah, blah. Also, like, my question is, Michael Douglas cannot be faithful to women in movies.
No,
like,
kidding.
It's just not a thing.
No, I know. The 90s it's... have proven us one thing, that, like, he, the wife does not matter.
No. No, Michael, ugh.
But that's the thing, Again, like, I think he was choosing these movies, and, like, when you watch them again, like, there is a little bit of a disconnect. This one, most of all, just because it's not a very good movie, but, like, it is, like, Michael Douglas's characters are deficient in a lot of ways, even when they're the hero. so to speak.
Yeah, he's supposed to be, like, clearly he's not the villain in this movie.
Oh, no, of course
like,
not.
How we can say he was the villain in, like, the past ones we've watched, but, like, I still don't care.
Right.
I don't care. Like, I don't, it doesn't make me be like, oh my god, Michael Douglas was sexually assaulted and harassed by, also, I feel like, why does we don't know anything about Demi Moore, too. Why is she doing this? All we know is, oh, he broke my heart in the past. But she, like, immediately goes just, like, full force. It's like, right. Come and, like, let's discuss. Next thing you know, I'm trying to, like, get your dick out of your pants. Like right. What? Like,
yeah,
what?
Well, here's the thing. That's exactly what it is. We never get any sort of, like, motivation from her. Or anything about her, really, at all. Because, yeah, she comes in, she immediately just, like, jumps on him. Yeah. And then a lot of it is in just her, like, trying to, like, you know, smear his reputation. But then also we find out she's actually not very good at her job. So, like, she's, like, fucked up a lot of, like, the stuff that he was, like, working on. So, like, it's saying that she's, like, incompetent. She, like, clearly holds a grudge. Like, so why is she here? Is she just here because Donald Sutherland has that, like, dead daughter thing? Like, what is that?
I think, like, there's just such a bad message to that. It's like, we hired her to, like, a diversity hire. But, like, we hired her just because she's a woman. But she doesn't actually deserve this job. Whereas right. It's like, when people are like, I don't know. It's just like, you know. Yeah, so it's just like, oh, we had to hire a woman, so, like, we did. Like,
yeah,
that's what it felt like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. It's like, so you don't, like, so you just picked up the first resume you saw and was like, ah, woman, here we go.
Yeah.
You're hired. Yeah. Take this corner office, ma'am. Well, here's the thing, yeah, here's the thing with this movie. It's really hard, like, I've been trying to, like, phrase different things, but, like, yeah, it's exactly it. It's like, I don't want to come off as sounding sexist, I don't want to come off as sounding misogynistic, but, like, it just feels, I don't know, because I'm really just, like, roasting the dudes in this, or whoever thought to make this movie, it's hilarious to me. You know?
Yeah.
Cause
or the fact that this was a book, and it clearly had to have been, I think that this book success, not necessarily that the book was successful, but I think it came off of Crichton's success with Jurassic Park. And
right.
I don't necessarily think it's Jurassic Park the book, it's more Steven Spielberg's movie.
Oh, absolutely.
That makes us be like, oh, yeah, this is a great piece of art. And they're like, well, let's just keep looking at what Michael Crichton's, like, written before. So, oh, yeah, this would make a great movie. Because, like, yeah, they're probably thinking that this is, like, a feminist movie, and it's the complete opposite of that.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, I felt like in the 90s, there was, like, a really long time where it was either they were making Michael Crichton adaptations or they were making, like, John Grisham adaptations. Mm-hmm. And this feels like Michael Crichton trying to write a John Grisham, like, lawyer thriller. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, trying to do, like, The Firm, where there's, like, this weird conspiracy or all of that. You know what I mean? So it's just so strange to me that they, like, they're going off of Michael Crichton's success, but this script, like, this book, I just don't think it should have been this one.
Yeah, and also this is the same year that ER debuted, and ER was, like, a massive success, so they think that anything that he writes is probably going to be... I mean, this movie was massively successful. It made $214 million on a $50 budget, so we cannot not say that this movie was a success. It did everything they wanted it to do. It just sucked.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is, like, so it got mixed reviews. Like, I do think, like, reviewers were just, like, a little, like, wary of the subject matter. It did seem like a lot of the reviews I was kind of looking at, they were like, eh, like, I don't know, like, it's kind of convoluted and stupid. And that was kind of the general consensus. But yeah, like, people ate this shit up. But
yeah, and I want to know, I mean, I get that you have Demi Moore was so hot then, like, Michael Douglas in the 90s. So, like, I get you have the star power to, you know, get butts in seats, but fuck, is what I have to say. At least star power, be in good shit, please. Please be in good shit. I know that doesn't happen 9 times out of 10. Once you become, like, a major motion picture star, you're in shit that people go and see, and that shit makes money. And then you have, like, indie cinema that's brilliant that nobody fucking sees.
No, that's very true. But, listen to this. So, Michael Crichton sold the movie rights for $1 million before the novel was published. So that's, I think, probably what happened. Like, there was all this success with his, like, with Jurassic Park or, like, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, yeah. Ooh, look at that. It's, like, it's an office drama and there's, like, sexy stuff. Cool. And then they get it. And then they're like, okay, well, we got to make something out of this now.
Yeah, wasted $1 million.
Yeah, well, like, so Milos Forman was originally attached to direct, but left due to creative differences with Crichton. Yeah, because he probably would have tried to make something interesting. Because there's a way.
Yeah, that would have been a...
Yeah, it would have been... I'm like, thinking about that production, and I'm like, okay, well, see, I feel like there is a way to, like, talk about this subject matter without it seeming like you hate women, you know? And it's just...
Yeah. And this is also, like, Barry Levinson. This movie is, like, coming off of him, like, winning Best Director in 89 for Rain Man. And then he was just nominated for, like, Bugsy, like, in 91. So you're coming off, like, Barry Levinson, like, having, like, an immense amount of success. And then this is the movie that we get? Like, that's also, like... Also, my real question that I find funny is that you have, like, Milos Forman, and then you have the fucking writer being the reason that he left. Usually when you sell your shit, you have zero say, but I know that Michael Crichton stayed on as a producer for this movie.
Oh, so that's the problem,
was allowing him to produce, because then he has power. Whereas if he was just the writer and you sold it for $1 million, you go away, and Milos Forman can literally make the... Usually it's like, I sold it... It becomes a piece of shit, and then I could say, well, that's not what I wrote. In this case, it may have been sold, it was a piece of shit, and Milos Forman made something great.
Yeah,
and well, it makes Michael Crichton look better.
No, see, that's exactly what it is. That's so funny. But that's the thing, too, like, you really do realize, like, how egos get in the way. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, like, and I, you know, Michael Crichton probably has, like, a very, like, firm idea of, like, what he was trying to say. Like, you know, and, like, you know, it's like, oh, I have this, like, vision of it. I have this. I have that. And then, you know, it kind of just, you know, falls apart.
Yeah, this, I mean, that would have been a weird, I feel like, also, like, as good as Milos Forman is, this feels like a, I don't know, like, a very different movie than something that he... But then he does have a pretty wide spectrum of a filmography. So who knows if this would have slid in there well enough and we would have been none the wiser.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like at least it would have been, like... Exactly. It would have been interesting. Like, even if it still, like, ended up being a failure, you could, like... I don't know. Like, I feel like it would be harder to dismiss.
What's interesting is that I wonder if the connection for, like, Milos Forman originally being in this was the Michael Douglas connection, because Michael Douglas was the producer of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's his first Oscar that he got,
right,
for Cuckoo's Nest. And Milos Forman was the director of Cuckoo's Nest. So I wonder if, like, Michael Douglas was like, no, this would be great if he directed this. And then next thing you know, you have Michael Crichton being like, I'm a producer. I don't want him.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. He's
probably like, what?
Yeah, because at that point, you're like, well, I'm not going to argue, I guess, but... Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, let's just make this fucking piece of shit.
I mean, hey, it made the money. It made all of it and then some.
It totally did. It did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Right.
So... Can you get mad at it? It's like, can you get mad at CBS for having terrible content when it does exactly what it's supposed to do? Like, no.
Exactly.
I can just not watch it. I can choose not to watch it. So I can choose not to watch this movie again.
That's what I can do. This one, just, like, again, so it's funny because, like, we're doing this whole Michael Douglas, you know, thing this month. And it's funny because, like, the first two, obviously, like, we love those movies. Like, they, you know, it's quintessential Michael Douglas. This doesn't feel like quintessential Michael Douglas, even though, like, when you watch the trailer, when you see, like, how, like, everything is going into place, it did seem like they were trying to follow, like, a formula, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The poster is literally, like, her riding him, which looks like this is supposed to be something, like, sexy, when that entire scene is disgusting.
It's horrifying.
Like, she's attacking him. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. So, like, did people go into, like, I didn't watch the trailer for this movie. I kind of wish I had, just to see how they marketed this. So if this movie was marketed like Basic Instinct or Fatal Attraction, of course it's going to make $214 million because these people want to go see a sex thriller with Michael Douglas, right? And then they leave with this movie.
Yeah, where it's just like, oh, the thing that really bothered me about this movie was, like, all that weird conspiracy shit, like, where it's like, oh, I guess, like,
the Malaysia stuff.
Yeah, and like, oh, like, I'm a friend, like, on the computer, like, there's that computer system. And, like, okay, so, yeah, there's this, like, there's this whole part, and it's after the accusations, and it's, like, after his, you know, he's, like, kind of, like, fighting for his life here, and he starts realizing that, like, they're, you know, they're, like, oh, okay, well, you don't have to quit, you don't have to resign, but, like, we're going to send you to a different place, like, we're sending you to a different office. And, you know, of course, he's, like, kind of pissed, but then he's like, okay, well, whatever. But then he finds out that, like, that branch is about to get, like, merged. And so, basically, like, he would end up getting fired eventually. You know, like, that whole thing. And
it
then
was
he
weird.
Sees,
I was
It, again, like, there's so many moving parts, and it's, like, this whole thing where he's like, oh, okay, there's this, like, big cover-up, and they're just, like, throwing me under the bus because of this woman. Yeah. That's, like, basically, like, yeah, the last, like, half of the movie.
And you're just, like, two different films.
Right. Because, yeah, I really think, like, there could have just been, like, the whole espionage thing, and, like, how, like, they're like, oh, well, we're, you know, we hired this person, they're not qualified, so we're just trying to, like, you know, keep our bases covered, and, like, you know, also we're protecting this person because we don't want to look bad. Like, there is something interesting there, because, again, that could be a man, that could be a woman, that doesn't have to be anybody. It's like they're not saving her out of any real concern for her. It's really like, shit, like, if it comes out that we're responsible because we hired this person, like, we're gonna look so bad, and our stocks are gonna tank, and, like, all that. You know, I could have just watched that movie. You don't have to have this,
like,
it would have
been better, yeah. Than this random, and then one of my favorite things is when this was, like, 1994, so this was, like, chunky cell phones, where they were just, like, these big, ridiculous
bricks.
Things, and they just didn't hold a charge at all. So, like, when they're, like, struggling, when she's pretty much raping him, his cell phone, like, gets knocked away. And I forget, was he trying to call someone, or he, like, accidentally called somebody in the struggle? But anyways, their entire encounter is, like, recorded, and it goes to some dude's answering machine. And then Michael Douglas figures it out and, like, gets the recording of, you know, the attack, and, like, brings it to the lawyers. And then I love when the lawyers were like, this just sounds like normal sex. This proves nothing. And I was like, what?
Well, no, it is really funny because it does sound like an attack. And it really actually kind of tells on, like, all of the men in that room.
Yeah. That they're like, well, this is just normal sex. And it's like, no, it's not. And then Demi Moore's like, I like rough sex. Like, just trying to, like, take the feminist thing, being like, I can like rough sex and be a woman. Like, I can enjoy it. I was like, yeah, you can, but you also can't rape people and be a horrible human being.
It's like, that's not a gray area. There's, like, is there still, like, a very black and white thing between rape and rough sex?
Absolutely.
Oh my god. And I mean, at least, like, during Basic Instinct, when we have, like, a rape scene and, like, a lot of rough sex, like, we see that, like, that's not actually what it's about. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, him being like, oh, you liked it. It's him just, like, dealing with some, like, bad demons and, like, shit. You know? And then, like, you have this scene. Ugh. I was thinking about this a lot because I was thinking about that, like, that scene with Jeannie Triplehorn in Basic mm-hmm. Instinct. And then this attack with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. And there is such a, like... Honestly, like, watching the scene with Demi Moore, you're just like, I just didn't feel any type of way. Like, I just was like, this is dumb and bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, whereas, like, when I'm watching the scene in Basic Instinct, like, at first, you're just like, you're kind of going along with it. You're like, oh, yeah, like, we've seen rough sex in this, like, all, like, we've watched a whole movie where there's, like, it's kink-based. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how about halfway through, then you're like, oh...
Yeah, this is, and you get uncomfortable, like, immediately.
Yeah, yeah, as soon as you realize that, you have that turn, and that's what makes that scene compelling. Like, I'm not gonna say it's a good scene, because, you know, that's not what I'm saying. But, like, again, you're, like, you're feeling something, and you're like, oh, shit, like, this is saying something compelling about these characters. Whereas this, like, attack in Disclosure feels just, like... It's just, like, supposed to be for shock value, and, like...
Yeah, and I felt like it was just gonna lead into him fucking her. Like, I didn't, like, the whole, like, I felt uncomfortable, and the scene was supposed to make me feel uncomfortable in Basic Instinct, and this scene just kept making me go, right. like, dude, when are you just gonna fucking fuck her? Like, even though it's clearly... supposed to be like, oh my god, she's like sucking his dick and he doesn't want it, but wait, maybe he does want it. And so the scene was just poorly like written and constructed, and I was just like, what the fuck is
and that's movie? The thing is, like, I really feel like if they had just taken some time up top, maybe just give her something, like, yeah, okay, he broke her heart, whatever. If you're gonna, like, make her, like, a psycho, then that's one thing. But they were clearly mm-hmm. just trying to make her seem like a very, like, cold, calculating, like, manipulative person. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I feel like if they had just done something where, like, if they had just taken their time a little bit, like, maybe have that attack happen, like, one or two scenes, like, later, and you see them working together or something... Yeah. You know, like, see their dynamic, where, like, maybe, like, she actually tries to, like, you know, she actually tries, you know, to, like, be nice to him or whatever. Not that she has to be nice to him, but, you know, just give me something where, like, all of a sudden, so she feels rejected by him because, not just because he won't have sex with her, but because of something else, like, some deeper thing. Mm-hmm. Then there would have been something, but, like,
She's so one-dimensional. Yeah. And if I, like, really think about it, she's, like, not in this movie much.
No, she's not.
Like, she's really not in it. Like, it's once again, it's about Michael Douglas. Like, these movies are making me, like, not like Michael Douglas.
Yeah, I feel like we're gonna have to, like, watch, like, the Kominsky method or, like, something, like, really, like, lighthearted.
Like, go watch Last Vegas. Like,
oh, yeah. But, again, it's kind of like that last season of what's that political show where they fired Kevin Spacey? House of Cards.
Oh yeah,
you know, House that last Cards, season yeah. where they just, like, they wrote him out, but, like, they wouldn't stop talking about that character. It's kind of like that. Like, they didn't know what to do, so they were just gonna talk about him all the time, even though he like had been killed Isn't off there. Or whatever. But it, again, like, I feel like that's kind of what they did with this. Like, they didn't really know what to do with her, so they're just gonna talk about her a lot.
Yeah, and then, I just don't know, then you just have, like, this is the kind of movie that upsets me so much in the fact that it's like, look it, women lie about getting raped. It's like, no, fuck you. Like, there are, unfortunately, the small amount of anybody, women, men... Anybody that has made false accusations, and those people are what make the people that have real experiences afraid to say it because they're like, oh, well, it clearly didn't happen to you.
Well, that's,
yeah. And this is a whole movie about that.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, like, here's the thing. Yeah, people lie. You don't have to say it's because, like, women lie or men lie. Yeah, people lie. People lie all the time to get what they want. And, like, yeah, you really don't see it, like, affecting dudes that often. Like, dudes can lie all day and then, like, it's fine. And it's, like, yeah, obviously, like, it's very shitty when you find out that, like, someone you believed is a liar. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just, like, you're trying to, like, have insurance on yourself, like, in case they're lying? Like, that doesn't really make sense, where it's like, oh, I'm not going to believe you because you could be lying. Like, unless that person has a history of lying, like, I understand that then. But you're just like, oh, well, no, no, no. You know, people lie, so I'm just going to not believe you right off the bat.
Yeah, and then this movie makes it be like, well, clearly this woman was lying. But, yeah, there's just really no reason why she wants to ruin his life. Like, I understand in, you know, Fatal Attraction, she's mentally ill, and she believes that if she does these things, it's going to get him to love her. That's a brilliantly written character. That's a monthly dimensional. I understand things. I don't understand any motivation that Demi Moore has in this movie.
Right. And even, like, Catherine Tremell, like, I feel like she is, like, I don't think of her, like, as feeling so much like a real person. Mm-hmm. But she feels like the kind of person who's just, like, going through her own life and, like, is now just, like, fixated on Michael Douglas a little bit. She's like, oh, yeah, you're, like, my new toy this month. Yeah. You know, like, that's also very interesting because that, again, that's something that's, like, usually an attribute that's, like, given to men in movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then, like, the way that's done in Basic Instinct is very interesting.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, like, if a man played Demi Moore's part, it would still be just as uninteresting. Actually, it would be worse because Demi Moore is mega hot.
Yeah.
That's the only saving grace is, like, every time she was on screen, like, I've never really, like, noticed Demi Moore before because I feel like I've really only seen, like, Ghost. And, like, well, Charlie's Angels, too, she's, like, super hot. But, like, that's its whole thing. But, like, I feel like I haven't seen a lot of Demi Moore movies.
Yeah, I've not really that from, outside of, like, everybody's seen Ghost. So, yeah. Like, outside of Ghost, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But so, like, you see her with the long hair, and you see her acting very confidently, and you're like, oh, shit, like, I would have sex with Demi Moore. But then, like, that's kind of it.
you're not like, oh, but she's not interesting.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't do anything. Yeah. She's kind of there to look nice, which is, I hope she got paid a lot of money to stand there and look nice.
Yeah, well, apparently she had just had a baby, so, like, fuck her.
Oh, damn.
she looked great.
Yeah, fuck. I have not just had a baby, and I've never looked that good.
Seriously, like, that's the thing. Like, as someone who, like, feels like I've always consistently looked 2 months pregnant, like, my whole life, like, this is, like, very upsetting.
Yeah,
like, what's, like, gonna happen if I ever have an actual child?
Child? You're like, well, I'm never bouncing back.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, well, guys, get ready for this for the rest of my life. So this movie does have its, like, happy ending, of course, where, like, he, you know, he's brought to justice and he uncovers the plot. Yeah, that's the thing. That's actually really, like, what the movie is about, though, where it's like, clearly she is stupid. Like, she's not good at the job. She's not good at getting Michael Douglas to have sex with her.
Yeah. No. Believe it or not.
So he, like, uncovers the plot. He's just like, hey, she's, like, done all of these computer errors. Like, this is her fault. And, of course, like, she comes back with, like, hey, you designed the program. Like, these are flaws within your thing. But, of course, he proves that wrong. And then he gets vindicated. Michael Douglas is vindicated. And then you're just like, ugh, whatever.
Because Michael Douglas always wins in the end.
Right.
He may eventually be stabbed in Basic Instinct, but he wasn't, you know?
Yeah, we didn't see it, so it's fine. Right. I guess, would you say, like, I've been trying to think of this. Like, do you think there's a batshit moment in there for you?
I would say, if anything, it's, like, the rape. Like, the kind of, like, weird sex rape. Because, like, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, she's just all like, I want to suck your dick. And I'm like, he's like, okay, okay. Like, normally if he wasn't screaming no 100 times, yeah, suck that dick. Go, girl.
Yeah, but, like, you this do was it. Like,
this guy, this is the most faithful that he's ever been in a movie. Because he clearly was like, no, I'm married. Like, yeah, we used to, like, fuck years ago before I had a wife and children. Cool. But I have a wife and 2 kids now, and I'm not down for this.
Right, right. No, it's true. Like, this is actually him at his most honorable, I guess. Right? But, like, I don't know. Right? There's just something about the whole thing just stinks.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah. It's just, like, it's so, so shitty. Yeah, like, you? I really can't say that I think that it was a batshit moment, because even yeah. when I was watching that rape scene, there was something about it.
Oh my god.
Well, again, like, it didn't really make me think at all.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was just off-put by the whole thing.
Yeah, true.
So I would say, like, this movie didn't have a batshit moment for me, but this whole movie is very off-putting.
Yeah. That seems pretty nail it on the head. Yeah. That seems good.
Yeah. And I was like, I was actually looking forward to this movie because I think I had told you, I thought I had seen this movie, and now I'm gonna, like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to go on IMDb and see if I can figure out what I was thinking mm-hmm. about. But mm-hmm. I realized I had never seen this movie before. So about halfway through, like, I was confused, and I was like, what's happening right now? What's going what on? This? Like, wait, so is she gonna sue him? Is that what this movie is? Like, what? What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, you're like, what be this film?
And then again, yeah, and I guess I keep going back to it. So maybe that's the batshit thing I think of this movie, is, like, all this, like, weird conspiracy shit with, like, him and the company, and, like, the mm-hmm. company trying to, like, save her ass and, like, save their ass by, like, you know, like, covering things up.
Out of the bus. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I guess that True. Stuff is the most batshit to me because, like, it felt so out of place. You mm-hmm. said it best. You said it best. There are two different movies in this movie.
Yeah. And neither were that good.
Neither of them are, like, super compelling. Like, one yeah. could have made a perfectly fine Lifetime movie.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god. And just the big problem with this was, like, even when movies are shitty, like, they can at least be fun. Like, this movie was boring.
Because, yeah, it, like, was not example, fun.
Like, I, like, you know, because, like, sometimes you'll, like, look on Rotten Tomatoes, and most movies that are, like, teen-oriented will usually be reviewed poorly, but I usually sometimes, like, eat that shit up. Like, for example, on Rotten Tomatoes, A Walk to Remember has, like, a 27%, and I'm like, fuck you, critics, that movie's a delight. Whether or not if it's a good movie or not, but the perfect example is this movie that just came out on Amazon called Chemical Hearts with Lily Reinhardt, who I think, regardless of this movie, I still think she's a talent and she's gonna break out and kill it in Hollywood. This movie may have been one of the most boring teen dramas I've ever seen. So, like, I feel like this movie feels like that in the way of, like, you're expecting something in the 90s with Michael Douglas to be sexy and to be a thriller, and then you get this movie and you're like, whoa, this is boring.
Well, this is, okay, and so, yeah, this actually, it's a good time, really, to kind of reiterate, like, the kind of movies that we like. It's, we love trashy movies. We love mm-hmm. trashy, scuzzy, silly movies. This Absolutely. Movie took itself so seriously, and True. I think really thought it had something to say about feminism and, like, toxic women and, like, you know, all this stuff. And, like, it took itself so seriously that it just, like, folds up within itself and, like, can't.
Yeah.
It couldn't sustain. And, like, again, like, sometimes, Absolutely. Like, when you take yourself too seriously, like, it's real easy to make fun of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, great, great point.
So, yeah, I guess so. And for me, I am going to rate this as just fucking garbage. Like, hot, hot garbage. Like, yeah, throw this in the bin.
This is, like, the shittiest shit smell that's coming from the garbage that you could ever imagine. You're just like, oh, man, it's been in the garage for, like, weeks. Is it a dead ferret? Like, that sums up Disclosure.
Yeah, because I really actually think this might be the worst movie we've seen. on the podcast.
Oh, so far. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, there have been, like, a couple where I'm just, like, a little bit bored here and there. That has happened. But, like, this, like, I had a very visceral, like, did not like this movie.
Yeah, this movie just bored. And it was over 2 hours. I'm like, fuck you. I'm also the kind of person that, like, firmly believes, like, of course I love Titanic and that movie's incredibly long. But I'm also like, if you can't tell a story in 90 minutes concisely and brilliantly, you have no business telling your story. Right. Because I've seen movies that are told so brilliantly in 90 minutes and they utilize every single scene and there's tension and it's precision and it's 90 minutes and you're like, holy shit! And sometimes you don't even realize that it's over, but so much has been packed into those 90 minutes because they utilize every single page. So this movie, like, just had no business being 2 hours.
Well, that's the thing. I basically think, unless you're Paul Thomas Anderson, like, make your movies 90 minutes. Paul Thomas Anderson is allowed to make 2 hours and 45 minute movies now. And I'll watch all of them and I'll love them. Or Martin Scorsese, you want to make your 3 hour movies? Absolutely, I will eat them
still
up.
Still too long.
But
I don't know.
I mean, listen. I mean, Wolf of Wall Street does not feel 3 hours long.
It does not. Like, that movie is paced really well. So, like, for every Wolf of Wall Street, there's Disclosure.
Right.
That should not be this long. Right.
So yeah. Yeah, I feel like that just about sums everything up about Disclosure.
Yeah. Don't watch it, honestly. Usually we'll be like, this sucked, but still watch it.
I don't know. I feel like its time has passed.
Yeah, I don't think you need this. And it wasn't even like a cool nostalgia of the 90s either, kind of like going back. You're just like, no, this is when computers were pieces of shit and cell phones were like fucking 5,000 pounds. You're like, no, this isn't even fun nostalgia.
Right. But yeah, so we'll be back next week with our last Michael Douglas movie. Hopefully it fares better than this one did.
It has to.
It really does. I really actually can't imagine that it could be worse. We also get, like, so next week we're doing A Perfect Murder, and it's got a young Viggo Mortensen in it, so I feel like we've got something to look forward, and, you know, a young Gwyneth Paltrow, so, like, we've got some good, hotties.
We've got eye candy.
Yeah, we've got eye candy to look for. All right, thanks guys again for listening. Again, rate us, review us, drop us a message on Instagram. Like, we've been getting some good feedback from you guys, so we're really, you know, really glad to be doing this during all this, like, quarantine stuff, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Sweet, sweet garbage, baby.